Inside Crime is brought to you by A Block Media, a full-service consulting firm specializing in media solutions for the law enforcement community. Law enforcement professionals know A Block is a partner they can trust. I'm Angeline Hartman. As a journalist, I've worked with cops and victims of crime all over the country. My craft is storytelling. My passion is crime fighting. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Inside Crime. I'm excited to share with you that investigators are following up right now on more leads that have come in just since our last episode. To all of our Inside Crime listeners, you've done amazing work by sharing this podcast and spreading the word about this case. I continue to pass along all of your feedback to investigators, and you'll be happy to know that it's making a difference. More about that later. Right now, I want to update you on a big lead that recently made headlines.
A potential lead in a cold case from 20 years ago, and that new clue is the result of a Fox 5 report. You may remember this image we showed you 2 weeks ago. This new reconstruction, created from pictures of the child's skull, was released by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. The child's identity is unknown, but he's believed to have been between 4 and 8 years old. Now, Fox 5 covered that case way back in 1999, fast forward 20 years, and now our former Fox 5 reporter who broke the story has launched a podcast in search of answers. Inside Crime with Angeline Hartman is in its third episode now, but it was our story about the new forensic image that motivated one Fox 5 viewer to call.
You may remember that Fox 5 viewer put me in touch with her mother, who used to work at a Georgia elementary school. The woman wondered if one of her former students might be the unidentified boy found in the woods. Here's a snippet from episode 3.
And I could be wrong. I hope I am. I told them I hope I was, because I really liked the little boy, because it was something about him that was kind of sad and something like he was a sweet little boy. He was maybe a little devilish, maybe. You know, you tell him, don't get up, they get up. Maybe he was hard-headed, but I admired him because he always dressed nice. He always. And those Timberlands had just come out at that time. And he would come in there with them on and the little baggy and the hoodie thing. But I'm just thinking that's that little boy. I really do. And I hope I'm wrong.
She says she called police back in 1999. When the little boy's skeletal remains were first discovered, she says she reported that a second grader in her class, fitting the description, had suddenly stopped showing up for school.
And that's when the two detectives came out and talked with me. And I even took them around the neighborhood because they were in an unmarked car so that it wouldn't get me in trouble with the neighbors.
I connected the woman with investigators once again, and while they did their work, she waited patiently. She doesn't want to share her name, but I can tell you she worked in Clark County, Georgia. That's about 60 miles away from the cemetery in DeKalb County. Hello?
Well, hello to you.
The woman told us that she oversaw what was known as the timeout room for children. It was a place where students were sent if they acted up in class. She said the little boy in second grade ended up with her often. She says she took time to work with him back then to try to get him back on track. When he suddenly stopped showing up at school, a relative said he was sent away because he didn't behave. But she would later question that because she never remembered handling the paperwork for his student transfer. Let's talk about what the last couple of weeks have been for you since we spoke before. What has that been like while you're waiting for the answers?
Well, it's been kind of hurtful, and I keep pulling up his picture and looking at him and talking to him and just hurting, you know, hoping that it weren't him, but feeling that it was because it looked like it.
Waiting for answers was not easy. She showed up at her old school one day, hoping to look through old yearbooks to find his picture or anything that might help. It turned out her timing was off. It was too late in the day, and the after-school staff didn't have permission to allow her in. Before she could make it back to campus a second time, her daughter got a call from the medical examiner's office.
He wanted to assure me, and he wanted me to tell my mom, and I think he said he would try to reach out to her as well, that they had located the young man that she thought was missing. The young man did leave Athens the way that my mom said, and he ended up in Macon and somehow back to Athens at some point. So my mom was correct on him just leaving all of a sudden. I guess he went to another relative's house. He said the disappointing side for him was that when the detectives came to my mom 20 plus years ago, they only said he's in a detention center. They didn't give her more information where she could have not probably go through this process again.
When he heard that the woman had met with investigators before, Pat Bailey, the director of the DeKalb County Medical Examiner's Office, decided to follow the lead himself.
I went back and looked at those notes and reviewed information she provided. We were able to make contact with Clark County, and they provided us with a host of information that we were able to confirm through Clark County. Now, it may not have gone through her hands, but it did show us that he had transferred out of the Clark County system to another school system that we are pursuing currently.
Okay. So he was transferred to another school, basically.
Yes, and that was one of the things that bothered me specifically, is that if he was not shown to have transferred out, what happened to him? So getting that piece of documentation was key for me and for this particular investigation, because had he not, then that would have triggered a bunch of other things that we needed to look into.
Sure. But you did find it.
Yes.
The woman who called in the tip says she knew there would be a sad outcome either way. But finally, at least she has answers.
I would dream of it. I would dream of a little boy. And I called my daughter one morning and told her. I said, I dreamed about a little boy. And I said, I just think it's him, man. But I really hope not. I really did. And I'm thankful that it's not. But I'm sad for the little boy, you know? Because he do belong to somebody.
She truly believed that she had the answer, and I felt bad that she had been wondering and worrying about this child for so long. It turns out, the little boy she spent so much time trying to help back then got into trouble as an adult.
As it stands now, some of the information that she was not provided at that point in time, we were able to fill those informational gaps and possibly shore up where we think the young man that she reported is, you know, missing, where he may be currently.
Director Bailey says it appears that the man is currently behind bars in a Georgia prison. I can't help but think how sad it is that after all of this time, that little boy she's been wondering about, the little second grader with the nice clothes, ended up in jail. You told me something that really touched me, which was that, you know, if this is indeed him and he is in jail now, that you wanted to go out and go talk to him and let him know that somebody cared.
True. 20-something years ago, this administrator, school teacher, remembers a child so vividly that when he was no longer at the school, it bothered her to the point where she wanted to reach out and let someone know to find out what had happened to him. And she's done it multiple times, and she's even told her kids or her daughter that, you know, every time she sees that image, that, you know, she believed that to be him.
Right.
So to, you know, in speaking with him to either conclude or to clear up this portion of the investigation, it would be good to let him know that although life may have taken him in a different direction, there's still a lady out there who knew him at a very early age that cared enough that she wanted to make sure he was doing all right.
I hope that when he tell him, it will have an impact on him, because he will never forget me. Even though he was in trouble all the time, I treated him right every day.
I would like to follow up on that and maybe have the two of you talk. If I can connect the two of you, I would love to do that.
Can you do that?
Maybe yeah. I can connect the two of you and you can even have a conversation.
Oh, yeah, and you'd be there too? Because I would want you to see it.
Maybe. As investigators close out that lead, there's a lot more to follow. Before I talk about what's next in this investigation...
My name is Laura Norton, and I am a co-creator, host, and writer of the Fall Line podcast out of Atlanta, Georgia. One of the cases we'll be covering in our upcoming season is Dennis Doe, a little boy who was found in DeKalb County, Georgia in 1999.
More ears, more attention. Another podcast will feature this case later this month.
The Fall Line is a podcast focused on generally undercovered stories in the Southeast where they are unsolved cases, missing people, but also unidentified people, unsolved murders that involve communities who historically don't get a lot of attention in the media. Some of these cases have been excellently investigated by the police. Some cases got little to no investigation, but a key factor is that usually people haven't heard of them. Now, the one case that we really have in common is the exception to the rule, which is kind of one of the reasons we're covering it. But in general, that's what we do.
But what drew you guys to this case?
Well, it's funny. I didn't realize you had done some work on the case in your journalistic career until I got into some of the older materials. And what immediately struck me about this case, we were looking at Doe's specifically this season, for a big part of the season, is that unlike every other case we have covered, there is so much love for this child that emanates through the police work, the media, the medical examiner. Everyone that's been involved has been so passionate about giving this boy's case some resolution, maybe giving him back his name, that they named him Dennis so he'd have a name.
It's so true. And as you say that, I'm getting tears in my eyes thinking about all of those years and all of those people that I've met and talked to who are still asking about him. They are not necessarily all in law enforcement, but definitely so many people in law enforcement. That is a common thing that, you know, we talk about.
So I'm hoping between what we're doing, what you're doing, the new things they're looking at in the case in terms of trying to develop some DNA, that will push it forward finally, and the hard work will pay off for Dennis and for everyone who's come to love him.
As we all push for answers in this case, investigators tell me they plan to revisit other leads that we've talked about here on Inside Crime. If you've been listening since the first episode, you'll remember that the original investigators on this case all agree that the single most promising lead has always been that phone call from Florida. That 1999 call from a woman who was distraught, a woman who said she knew the child, and that his name was Cabell Brown. Here's Jim Mabe, the investigator who spoke with her.
As a homicide detective and as a forensic death investigator, you talk to people all the time and you get this sense of, are they sincere about what they're saying or what? And you can imagine this. you're at home, you're watching the news or you're reading the newspaper, and all of a sudden you see somebody that's unidentified and you go, golly, I know that person. And you're going to get excited about it. You want to help if you can.
I asked investigators to consider releasing the woman's name. After all of these years, she could still hold the key to solving this case. Investigators agreed and told us that her name was Dawn Anderson. No one knows if that's her real name. No one knows where she is now. If you know a Dawn Anderson, or if the name Cabell Brown sounds familiar, investigators want to hear from you. Let's talk about the next steps, because obviously there's more to do from here. So what happens now?
So first, I want to say thank you to Inside Crime and the National Center because you've pushed the story out and the coverage has led to listeners who have been stirred by some measure and have decided to call in. So thank you to the listeners for doing so.
Director Bailey says your participation has helped push this investigation to the next level. Your tips, your calls, and suggestions have not only propelled him to hit the streets and follow leads himself, now he's taking even more steps to form a special task force for this case.
We're reaching out to different agencies to help us move this forward. And hopefully we can formulate an actual formal task force in the future that can galvanize what we do receive in leads and go through what we've reviewed before and hopefully find some conclusion and get Dennis home.
That is awesome. That's great. We go way back, Pat. And if there's anything I can do as far as media, you know, strategy or anything that I can help with, I would love to be able to be a part of that.
Angeline, you've been Dennis's champion since day one, and the media cannot be forgotten because it's that platform and different and as many avenues as it's evolved into these days that's allowed this message to get out and the story to get out so that those who haven't heard it can hear it now and hopefully call in to give us some more information.
Thank you so much for being a part of Inside Crime, and we will keep our fingers crossed. We'll just be with you all the way.
This is a new day. Let's move it forward.
And that's it for Season 2 of Inside Crime. Thank you so much for listening and for caring about this little boy. I ask that you keep sharing this podcast. The more we spread the word, the better chance we have of reaching the right person. I'll be back with Season 3 very soon. Until then, be sure to sign up to get the latest updates from our website, insidecrime.com. I'm your host, Angeline Hartman. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Inside Crime.